Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey everyone, before we start this story, I need to give a disclaimer. The following story contains themes that may be sensitive to those who've experienced trauma in spiritual or religious spaces, and some of the conversations revolve around heavier topics. We had considered passing by the story altogether, but upon reflection, we've come to realize that the events that play out in this episode have played an important role in the origin of our company, and to truly tell the larger story of Sleepy Dog Creative, this is a story that needs to be told. But in order to tell it properly, we have to get into the weeds a little bit. Please understand as you listen to this story that our intention is not to create a commentary or criticism on religion, nor to villainize any person or belief system, but rather to demonstrate the ethical tension that many people like us in the creative industry are likely to encounter. And so, as you listen, I encourage you to listen from that perspective. Okay, let's get into it.
Your name is on this. You know, I know that Sleepy Dog Creative isn't going to be highlighted and everything, but somewhere along the line, your name's associated with that. What you do, the storytelling that you do, you wield influence. And standing up for righteousness in the influence of what you do is a core part of why you wanted to do this in the first place, to tell stories.
Yeah. I don't love that I'm in this situation, but in a weird way, it felt like a rite of passage for a company. Like, actually, when I sat down and first processed it with Kristen, I was like, I told you, we talked about it like a month ago, that like inevitably there will come a point where we have to decide when we say no to a project. I just didn't think it happened now.
Every bit of this, you do not have peace in your spirit.
No.
This is a big deal. I think you're right. I think this is an incredibly important time.
The story you're about to hear has no ending. That is to say, whatever end will be has not happened yet. This is a story of one guy, myself, trying to fulfill his dream. But in a lot of ways, this is a story about thousands and thousands of people. Entrepreneurs, inventors, and relentless creatives. It's about the people with an idea who had the audacity to walk to the edge of their comfort zone and jump into the unknown to pursue it. Or at least, this is a case study of my attempt to do just that. This story is being captured and crafted in real time, which means however this story ends, you and I will discover it together. I'm Jeremiah, and you're listening to Over the Edge. Today, we're going to step into the complicated waters of ethics. More specifically, we're going to talk about the ethics of storytelling and what to do when you realize you're creating something that you don't think you should. But first, I need to introduce you to Cody.
I first reached out because I had asked for a raise at my previous job. Basically, they were like, you need to learn such things. And one of those things was learning the Adobe Suite / how to edit and do video and Photoshop and all that stuff. In my head, I was like, Jeremiah knows that stuff.
Cody's been a friend of mine for the past several years. We actually worked together before, and we were even roommates for a brief period of time. I knew that since I just hired Kristen, I had to be extra cautious with my resources, but I also knew that I had a lot of editing work in front of me, and I could use some help.
You said, how instead of me showing you stuff, we make it like an informal internship. And I was like, okay. My mindset is like, I'm not just getting the necessary skills I need to get a raise at work, but I'm also helping out a friend with his business and being able to be there for somebody that I care about.
Things are in full-scale growth mode here at Sleepy Dog Creative. Kahootly is spending an increasing amount of time helping me with projects. Kristen and I are spending lots of time trying to refine our processes for task management. And now, we've got an extra enthusiastic pair of hands with Cody. Around the same time, I got an email from someone inquiring about our services. They were looking for some testimonial and promo video content for their ministry. Perfect. That's kind of our whole thing. And with this new overhead, I gotta make sure I'm beefing up my sales pipeline. So, I set up a meeting to learn more details about the project and the ministry. The group was somewhat new, and not very formally structured yet. They hold semi-frequent events and have been looking to get the word out about what they do. They also talked more about the ministry. It's a prayer ministry, or more accurately, a healing and deliverance prayer ministry, as in, be gone in Jesus' name kind of stuff. Now, to be honest, I don't know what I believe is real in this category, but I've been in similar spaces before, and I'm generally able to suspend my questions enough to be present in the room. After all, regardless of what's actually happening here, people seem to be, on the whole, leaving better because of it. So what does it matter what's spiritual and what's placebo? And this project is one where I don't know, but I'm comfortable not knowing. So we moved forward. Contract was signed, shoot date scheduled, and a $1,000 deposit was paid. I brought the whole team in for this project. Kristen helped me run schedules and project management, as well as creating the strategy document for the project. Kahootly was brought in to do some graphic design and to be the video editor, and Cody was assigned to tag along with me for the video shoots. It was all hands on deck. The project was twofold. First, create some testimony videos to play at their next event. Then, attend the event and shoot footage to use as a promo. 1 week later, we're on set for the testimonial shoot.
That was my first official shoot. Obviously very new to it and everything like that. So a lot of, hey, Jeremiah, how does this work? Hey, Jeremiah, how does this work? And then like me like halfway pretending like I know how to do things. As we kind of get started, I'm kind of off on our side camera shot or whatever. And you're running the interview. So I'm basically just making sure everything's working and run or whatever. I don't know. I feel like it was a great time.
With shoot one wrapped, we got footage handed over to Kahootly and he got to work on the editing. Honestly, everything was going great. No issues, no red flags, just another solid project in the pipeline. Next was shoot two, B-roll capture at the event. Cody joined for a little while. I wanted him to get some experience using the camera stabilizer in a candid shooting setting. As we moved through the event, everything was playing out pretty much how I expected. Teachings, table time, and the occasional person having a somewhat visceral spiritual experience. As the guy in the room with a camera, I tried to keep my distance, capture what's happening, but don't be an obtrusive and disrespectful presence in the room. It's a balance that I've had to strike in a lot of events in my career. By the middle of the day, there were no surprises. Everything was good, and I really didn't need Cody around for the rest of the day, so he headed out. There was one final session in the event. My client got on stage and opened up with a disclaimer. He said the following things he's about to teach are things that he has learned and experienced, but they're not specifically things that are aligned with the church where they're meeting. He told people they're welcome to disagree, but this is what he's researched and discovered. And then he went into his teaching, which he called Blessings and Curses. The lesson was all about demons and the surprising places or activities where you can end up welcoming demons into your life. He then began to list them off, reinforced with a nice slide deck. Some were no surprise to me. Tarot cards, Ouija boards, Halloween, and yoga. All things I was taught by people to steer clear of when I was a kid. But then he started adding more things. Things like homeopathic medicine, chiropractic care, or EMDR. Things that are legitimate sources of care. Slowly, there was a weight that began to rest on my chest. I looked around the room and saw a group of people that gathered together because they were searching for healing. Now they're being told by their spiritual authority to stay away from things that might actually provide the care that they need. And to make matters worse, I'm now making a video telling people they need to come here. After the session, they moved into their ministry time. This was the "Be Gone in Jesus' Name" part of the event. My camera and I slowly made our way around the room, pausing on moments that felt camera-worthy. Even saying that sounds bad. As I went through the room, I saw people shake and convulse and cough, being told that this is good, this is God. And suddenly, this no longer felt like a neutral situation for me to capture. This felt bad. The whole thing felt bad. The event ended and everyone was good, talking about what a powerful experience it was. It was as if I was the only one in the room saying, "This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong." After the event and I went home, I was quiet. Annie asked how the shoot was and I said, "It was fine." I didn't know what else to say because everything was spinning in my head so fast. I couldn't figure out how to talk it out. I felt like I had footage on my camera that I shouldn't have. Video clips of people trembling in ways that looked more like trauma responses than the work of God. Clips of people who were told to stay away from true sources of healing like chiropractic and EMDR. My mom's life was changed by chiropractors, and my dad has worked through trauma and healing through EMDR. I didn't know what to do, but something told me I couldn't keep doing this project. We'll be right back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I've never fired a client, so this opens up a whole new world of questions. What do we have written in our contract? Does the contract allow us to terminate the project if it's not aligned with our values? Should I refund the $1,000 deposit? We already made two of the three videos we've agreed on. When I have this conversation with the client, how much detail should I go into? They're going to want an explanation. Also, how did I miss this? Were there questions I should have asked at the start of the project? Was I just focused on making as much money as I could for my business? How do I adjust our client onboarding process so we don't have to be in this situation again? I decided to call some friends and get their take. This is a part of my conversation with Eric Kinsey, who runs a company called Strategic Design, which specializes in user experience-focused web design.
Have you ever been in this place before?
Unfortunately, I have. I had a client come to me that wanted me to set up an e-commerce store for them. And throughout the sales process, it stayed relatively vague as to what they were going to be selling. It was historical memorabilia was what I was told. Once we started working on the site and building up the demo and he sent over his products, we found out it was all Nazi memorabilia in particular.
Oh,
and that was a bit of a shock to us. And, he claimed that he didn't follow any of the ideologies, but, he wanted to make profit off of the collectability of it. And we turned around and said, no, we don't want to work with these products or spreading this ideology in any way. We worked off of very, very regimented but very simple contracts. So it was, agree to work unless either party decides to terminate, and we decided to terminate. we gave him his money back and told him to have a good day. And he was extremely upset with us. But like, that was the only choice available to me, to be honest. It didn't even seem like a debate. It was just like, oh, that's what you're doing. Okay, we're out.
Yeah. Did that start a conversation internally about how do we ask extra questions, or do we set up some sort of like vetting process?
It did. And, you know, to be honest with you, the guy coming in, not telling us what he was going to sell, smelled weird on the surface in the first place.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, in a perfect world, you know, we would know the full background of every client we work with. But like, there's a point where it's not realistic, right?
Right.
And so I'm trying to figure out, like, if we create a bio video for somebody promoting who they are, and then 5 years later, you find out that they've been like a huge sex offender, it's like, is there any sort of due diligence that we could have done? Or like, what does that look like? What defines due diligence, I think, is what I'm trying to figure out.
And that's a really important question, because, you know, if you want to get into the, you know, hating on the corporate oligarchs that are out there, you know, most companies, most products you're promoting in the marketing world at some levels, unless you're going only local, you know, you end up marketing for companies that likely don't align with your interest. It's almost inevitable. So it is something that each individual artist and designer or producer of whatever sort has to square with, is where are they drawing that line? My thought is, it's something that's very hard to define ahead of time, but once it's in front of you, it's blatantly obvious.
Is there even a process we can set up, or is it just a reality of like you said, you'll see it when it's in front of you?
Yeah, because I think if you start asking those types of prodding questions to people that are innocently wanting you to represent them, and there's none of that ill will in there, it's going to be off-putting to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a greater cost to some degree.
There's clearly a lot here. None of it is as clean cut as I'd like it to be. But the one thing I knew for sure is that I wanted my team to weigh in on it. So I called a meeting first thing the next morning so I could fill them in on the shoot and their opinions on the ethics of storytelling. I took some time the night before our meeting to prepare. I wanted to make sure I could organize the mass amount of thoughts in my head and that I knew what I wanted my team to experience in that meeting. Annie and I took time to process it all while we made dinner.
I mean, I think in terms of, you know, this company being still in its early stages, I hope, and I think that's true. I think that's true. Right. It's a good time to be having those conversations. It's lucky you're not having to make the decision of ethics versus monetary gain. Like, in a place where you're desperate for, like, you need that cash.
Right, like, it's not like, I just got the largest job of my life, but right, I need to sacrifice my conscience to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and my hope is whatever comes out of our meeting tomorrow, we're able to create enough of either a process or just a system or goalposts or something, mm-hmm, on what qualifies as a story worth telling, mm-hmm, and what is like what equals a story that we shouldn't tell.
Right.
At least in the point of that we feel like the story will cause harm. Mm-hmm. My hope is that instead of our manifesto on ethics or whatever as a company, instead of it coming from me to everyone, mm-hmm, I'm the facilitator of a conversation that is contributed to by everyone.
Right.
I don't exactly know how to do that well.
Mm-hmm. I think this meeting will be good too, especially if you keep in mind, you know, how do you prevent this from happening again, where you have to make that choice. Like, how much research do you do beforehand? Who's doing the research? It's hard to say, because I mean, there is a world where you do have to kind of vet people, because like, you don't know what their record, like, have they been arrested for like sexual assault, you know, or has something come up in the past that it's like, I don't really want my name affiliated with that.
I think that's why the language, I think I want to stick with, of like helpful and harmful, because it's staying away from like moral right or wrong. Mm-hmm. There are some black and white right and wrongs.
Right.
But there are far more gray area ones. Mm-hmm. And so it really is going to boil down to the collective conviction of the group of people making it happen.
Right.
You know, and I think if we can talk about this, we can find the things that we're all aligned on. And like, this is what means helpful.
Right. I think tomorrow's conversation will be good.
Who's that, Josh?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Josh.
Hi, Cody.
Guys, we have a full team. This is wild.
Ah, full team Zoom. Full team Zoom.
The next morning, we got the whole team together on the call. Kahootly, Josh, Kristen, Cody, and me. As we got started, I got hit with this realization. This was the first time the whole team is gathered together. There's five of us on this call, and each person is here on the team because of a thing that I started alone in my studio. In the midst of such a hard conversation, that was a beautiful feeling that I'll never forget.
Thank you, everyone, for taking this impromptu meeting. I've been processing some things, and I wanted to process it with all of you guys and get your take and your contribution. It's some core Sleepy Dog creative company type questions. So I'd love at least a small weigh-in from each of you on it. And my goal is to kind of use this meeting and this process as kind of a standard for how we work through other issues when they happen in the future. The specific thing I've been processing lately is an ethical question about the ethics of storytelling. The primary language that we are doing, y'all know it, is that we're helping tell stories. We're helping tell authentic stories. We're doing what we can to present the stories of other people in a way that is compelling and moves people. And lately I've been thinking a lot that there is a burden or a responsibility that comes with that, because we are bettering the message of a cause at any point, even if it's even if the cause is as small as, you know, you should come to our escape room, right? Like there is a thing that we've said is good or helpful enough that we're going to help make it happen more. So my question that I've been processing is, when do we choose not to tell a story?
I'm curious why this came up. Like, was there a specific moment where you had to ask this question recently?
Yes, there was, and we'll get there. Early on in the process, when you guys joined the team, I asked you, is there a specific type of project that you would not want to do? And I did so because, like, at least generally, this idea has been in my mind, but we did. Yes, we did. And so I'll kind of process through where I'm at with that.
I gave the team a full overview of the project. The same stuff I just told you. My thoughts going into the project, my experience over the weekend, and my questions about what to do now. A lot of it they already knew, but some really crucial stuff they didn't know yet. And once we got to the end, I posed this question.
I just left feeling bad, and I'm now asking myself questions about if we should finish this project. But I want your guys' take about this project, what your thoughts are, should we continue, should we not continue, and about kind of the larger, how do we decide when not to tell a story? Like, what I wrote down is, when we believe telling the story will cause harm to people. But then the next question I wrote is, how do we decide what causes harm? Because it's not as clean cut as this is right, this is wrong.
Right. Yeah, I think my first thought is just we already told them we were going to deliver the video. Why not just finish it out? But then from that point be like, this is the last project. We're not doing anything further. If you want more videos, find your own editor or videographer. It at least doesn't burn a bridge of well, what the heck? We paid you to do all this. We'll honor what we said we were going to do, but then past that, you guys are on your own. And I think that leaves us as a company to be held reliable. I personally am okay doing the promo and just not doing anything else further.
What's your take, Cody?
I feel like I'm definitely a little bit more kind of cold turkey on it, where it's I would almost stop immediately, and that's just because, I'm not a huge fan of talking in the extreme about everything, where it's all of this is the devil, demonic, or whatever. And I'm there are things that can be just not good, or most of those things that he's talking about help people, and we don't see necessarily adverse effects from them.
As a rule to all of you guys, if you're ever involved in a project that I feel good about, we've put through our process, feel good about, and you don't feel good about it, you do not have to have any participation in it. First of all, full stop, that is always going to be the case. And I want to make sure that you guys feel the space to say so if that ever happened. Josh, any takes?
I mean, I could go on and on about the theological bents and what, and how I don't agree with this or this, or maybe agree with this, but I, I feel like monetarily, like if there's a company that maybe has like they were accused of a sketchy business practice like 10 years ago, it's like, well, we can nitpick about that and be like, well, maybe we shouldn't work with them. But I feel like that's a lot. It's a lot different when you step into like a spiritual and like mental side, because this is a very spiritually and like mentally charged thing. Like that goes deeper than just like money and finances. Like that's like people's well-being. It's tough because, yeah, I kind of agree with Cody where it's like cold turkey, just like stop. But I also, I don't know going forward what kind of decision you would make or we would make as far as like, what do we take and what do we not take? I don't know. I just feel like once it dips into a spiritual realm, even if you're Christians or not, it's kind of like, if you don't agree with it, it goes deeper than just people lose out on $20. It's like people's livelihoods can be messed up.
So the language that I put down is that, like, when do we choose not to tell a story? The language I've been using is when we believe that telling the story will cause harm. Mm. Because I think that allows us to have theological differences or personal convictions. And it allows Sleepy Dog Creative to not be a quote-unquote Christian company, but it be run by people that are Christians. And just ask a general question where we get to work through, hey, do we feel like putting this story in the world will cause harm to people? Or do we feel like ultimately it is going to be helpful for people? That lets us even process, like, if we got a commercial job from McDonald's, do we take it or do we not take it? Like, it's not even just a spiritual world of things. It's like, hey, where do we draw the line on if we decide, hey, we think that using our skills to tell this story and help bring people into this thing is going to help them or going to harm them. Any thoughts, Kristen?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, I understand, like, the back and forth between, like, oh, we'll just, like, do cold turkey. I think, like, if it was something that, like, I was involved in, because I wasn't really there. I mean, I haven't, you know, I'm not going to be editing the video or have really had any more conversations or have been in that sort of like environment like you guys have, even if we're not like making a statement and saying like explicitly that this is something that is like we're endorsing or supporting, it's gonna happen even if like we don't say that, you know what I mean? And so I guess the question is like, well, is that something that we would want to endorse or support by doing this? From at least what I've heard from everyone sharing, it's not something that we're no one sitting here and saying that this is something that aligns with Sleepy Dog and like who we are. We could say that like, well, Sleepy Dog isn't like a Christian company and we're all Christians and we have faith, but that really does like demand what we think the heart of Sleepy Dog is and who we think Sleepy Dog is, because it's us really.
Yeah, that's good. If we got hired to do a promotion for a Halloween bash and Cody said, hey, actually, I'm not comfortable with Halloween, I'll say, hey, you don't have to do anything with this project. But we, as on the whole, can decide as a general thing beyond personal feelings, we think that this event, this video, is going to cause more help than harm. So it's worth it. And so that's where I think it's hard to find, but I think there is a line between a personal conviction and like, this will cause harm.
Maybe part of this is your faith, but also I think it's just your passion is to tell stories about people that actually care about what they're doing or care about people as well, or have had a transformation in some sort of way, business related, personal related, like whatever that is. So yeah, I think just making sure that like you stay true to the purpose that Sleepy Dog is here for. It's not here just to make money for people or for you. It's about telling people's stories. And so if they don't care about their story being told or an actual story, they just care more about the money, then yeah, just drop it.
At this point, you guys are like the core, you know? Y'all are the people. Mm-hmm. We're building a company that we care about. And so I don't want conversations like this to happen like, I have a code of ethics and I teach it to you and then you follow it. I want it to be, I have a code of ethics or a conviction and I facilitate a conversation so that like you guys can think on the level that I'm thinking, but not necessarily so you can come to the conclusion I've come to. So yeah, grateful for y'all.
Our plan leaving that meeting was to give them the footage we shot and call the project at the $1,000 that was paid. I think that meeting became another foundational moment for Sleepy Dog. It was the first time we encountered a problem as a team, and I wanted to make it absolutely clear that these are problems that we solve as a team. Everyone has a say. I called John to get his take on everything.
I 100% agree that you got to do things that fit your ethics and your values. And if not, you'll do something for the money, and then you will hate yourself later. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought your team together. Here's why bringing your team together is so important. We want everybody on board with the same values. And if somebody doesn't want to play by your values, I'm not going to judge them to be good or bad. But if they don't want to play by your values, they may not belong in the team. And yet, if you get a team together that shares values, not just on what work you do, but how you do the work, that's a really powerful team. And they will stay and they will invest in the team in a way that makes you stronger. And, you know, you'll build a kind of organization where people will say, I love where I work. I think this is a great opportunity. Glad you had that conversation. This is just, it's really strong, Jeremiah. Very strong.
The next day, Cody and I talked on the phone. We talked a bit about how he's feeling about the internship so far and what he's enjoying and what he's been learning. We also talked about our ethics meeting.
It's only been, 2 weeks or whatever? And it's been really fun. And, even the meeting we had yesterday, it was like, oh, I actually really appreciate this, too. That meeting was the first time I feel like I felt like my opinion was appreciated. I didn't realize how much I needed to be, not praised. I don't think I need that, per se, but to at least just be seen.
Yeah, yeah. As the week moved on, I still felt heavy about our ethics situation. There was a part of me that wondered if even keeping the $1,000 was right. I decided to process it with my therapist, which is the clip you heard at the top of this episode. It was an important conversation, and one that I got permission from him to both record and use in this episode.
This is a big deal. I think you're right. This is an opportunity for you to send a strong message to your team. Could you get away with, okay, finish the project, you do this one and done, you're not going to do it anymore, right? You could ethically, but is that going to bring you peace?
Yeah. I since talking about this now, like I said, I didn't have any qualms with just giving them the footage and saying, it's done. But if I'm right, and what's happening in that room is a group of people that are being hurt, not helped, then that's sacred moments that I don't have the right to have on my camera.
And I think creating a culture where if there's anything that anybody encounters on your team that isn't feeling right, does it mean you immediately bail on it? No, but I love the idea of coming together as a team and processing it. I think this is an incredibly important time. And yeah, you might have one client who's pissed off that doesn't want to write, and maybe you get a little bad name recognition as a result of that. But far more people, I think, are going to be drawn to the vision you have and the integrity with which you do it. You can't ever go wrong with integrity.
As I drove home, this all felt even heavier.
I feel like this is a really important moment for our company because it sets a precedent for how we respond to ethical issues from here on out. And if we honestly, truly believe like a certain person or group or organization or mission or event is causing harm to people, then I feel like it is our ethical mandate to say we will be involved no further. In fact, not just we're not going to do more for you, but here's your money back. We're done.
We'll be right back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I didn't feel prepared for my meeting with the client, but I didn't know how else to prepare. I had no idea how this meeting would go. I just knew what decision we as a company had to make. The conversation actually went really well. They were disappointed to hear our position, and they asked questions about some of the things we were struggling with, but they didn't try to change our mind. We had some disagreements, but ultimately concluded the meeting on the same page. They even thanked me for the work that we did, and they said the testimony videos we made were fantastic, and they were grateful for our work and our honesty. After our meeting, I wrote an email to my team, telling them that I had the meeting with the client, that we'd be refunding the $1,000 deposit, and that I was grateful for their participation in the process. Then, I mailed the client the check, and that was that. Saturday, April 26th, about 1 week later, Cody was over at the house helping me with some edits when suddenly I got a call from the client.
What was that?
That was the client. So I don't know if you saw my email. I decided to refund the $1,000.
Yes.
He was calling saying he got the check in the mail, but he wants to honor the work that we did and wants us to keep the check.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, we did do a lot of work. We did, you know, put two videos in and, mm-hmm. you know, I paid Kahootly for his time and all of that. Yeah. So that's interesting. I don't know what to do with that. Because, like, the whole idea is, like, we shouldn't take money for a project that we don't feel good about.
Correct. But it's also, like, at this point, we're not doing the project.
Right.
Because it's not like these are bad people.
No, not at all.
So it's not like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if I came to the conclusion that we should refund that money, then that shouldn't change because he
refuses to take it?
Right.
Well, then you can be like, hey, pay it forward, at least.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Because, like, on his side, like, That I mean, that's awesome. And from an ethical perspective, him being like, hey, no, these guys still did a lot of work and I want to honor that, is good. So I guess, yeah, I'm like, what do we do with that money then?
I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, we definitely could, like, do something charitable with it.
Yeah. Well, if you had $1,000 to help someone, what would you do with it?
My first instinct would be to give it to Sean.
Quick editorial note. Sean is Kristen's husband, so Cody's talking about gifting it to Sean and Kristen. Also, even though we're all friends, Sean, Kristen, and Cody are super close and have been friends for a long time.
Thinking of, like, how they've been dealing with a lot of financial stuff of recent.
Have they?
A little bit, yeah. I know that's what I would do. I'm not going to say you should do what I should do, or what I would do, but it's...
Well, I mean, you're in this with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I started this whole process with, like, questions of ethics at the center of it, and so it just makes sense to finish the process mm-hmm. with ethics at the center of it.
Yes.
Okay. I think I want to do that.
Do you have a second?
Yes.
Sweet. So I sent a refund check for the $1,000 like this week.
Mm-hmm.
So he called me today, just a little bit ago. He basically was just like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I appreciate all the work that you guys already did, and I got your check, but, like, I don't want to cash it. Like, I want you to keep it for the work that you guys did. And I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so we got off the call. Cody's here, too. And we were just kind of, Cody and I were talking, trying to process what then we do with that. $1,000 because it's like, hey, that's awesome that we have for the business. But like this whole process has been like an ethical one, right? Trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. And I feel like if we came to the conclusion that we should give back that $1,000, then like I feel like that shouldn't change just because they were like, no, you should keep it. And so basically Cody and I were trying to figure out like, well, what should we do with this? Long story short, you'll be receiving a bonus for $1,000 next week.
Are you kidding me? What?
Here's the thing. Like, first of all, I'm really grateful for everything you've done to help us out. But also, like, I mean, I know that y'all have been in a situation of trying to, like, just make some headway. And, like, suddenly we have an opportunity to do that, to help that happen. And so, yeah, it just made sense.
Oh, my gosh. What? I don't know what to say. Thank you. Okay, hey, this is rude. I'm driving, and I'm crying, and I can't see. Oh my gosh. Thank you. You're crazy. We just have to do that.
Also, if I gave it to Sean, he wouldn't accept it, so.
No, he wouldn't. What? That's crazy. You want to know what's nuts? Yesterday, Sean he was hanging out with some friends, so I was just at home. And while I was home, I was just praying because tax season just happened, and so $1,000 worth of my check went towards taxes. And so that was literally like yesterday that I did that. That's crazy.
That's crazy. You guys, I mean, you deserve some wins.
Holy crap. Thank you. I know Cody's there.
It was his idea.
You know what I said also in my prayers yesterday? I'm not a pray out loud, like in my own time type of person, but last night I prayed out loud because Sean and I have been talking and like we just kind of like want a win, but we don't know like what that is or what a big win would even be. So last night I was praying and I was like, okay, Lord, you give what we need for the people who ask. So like, I'm just going to ask God, like, I'm asking for a big win. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's supposed to look like. Do what you want to do with that. And I'm just going to be expectant and wait. I really appreciate that. So thank you.
Yeah. You've been a huge help already, and it's only been 2 months, not even, or something. So I'm really glad that you're a part of the team.
I'm really glad to be a part of the team.
All right, bro. Well, stay stay lit, King.
Sounds good. You too.
Everything comes back around. The life we own are the dreams we have sown. What future will we know? Every thought we water will grow. So let's grow something beautiful.
I don't think we've mastered the art of ethics, and I think we'll likely end up in a situation like this again. But looking back, I'm deeply grateful for everything we went through. It strengthened our process, it revealed blind spots in our company. But bigger than that, I think it unified our team and some of the core values that define who we are. Sometimes you have to have hard conversations, but if this story has taught me anything, it's that hard situations can bring out some of life's most beautiful moments.
Everything comes back around. The life we own, the dreams we have sown. What future will we know? Every thought we water. Let's grow something. Ba-ba-ooh.
Like, you listened to all of it?
I listened to all four episodes.
Yeah?
Yes.
What's your take?
It is incredibly inspiring. Like, I finished it at, like, 11 o'clock last night, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I mean, this, it feels like a dramatized novel. It makes me think about however big or small, like, being a part of Sleepy Dog or whatever, it's like, I'm a part of a story in the making. And that's like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh dang, that's a story I want to be a part of.
Everything comes back around. The life we own are the dreams we have sown. What future will we know? Every thought need water grow. So let's grow something beautiful. Let's grow something new.
Over the Edge is a production of Sleepy Dog Creative. It was written, hosted, and edited by Jeremiah Shoemaker. Our theme song is OK by Quinn from Space. This episode's featured song is Grow Something Beautiful by Michael Author. Music composition by Jeremiah Shoemaker and graphic design by Cahootly Alvarado. Special thanks to Cody Lindblom, Eric Kinsey, Annie Bell, Cahootly Alvarado, Josh Shoemaker, Kristen Finney, John Maxwell, and my therapist. If you enjoyed this show, send it to someone you know who needs to hear it. And if you want to reach out, you can email sleepydogcreative@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time for the next chapter of Over the Edge.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.